Okay, Rabosai, so we're on Rav Zayin Amud Beis. And we're trying to figure out what is the nusach of the bracha on Bir Chametz. And Gemara says that the issue revolves around whether it's Lahaba or Meikara Bashma. And everybody agrees that Levayer with a Lamed is Lahaba, so that would certainly be okay. And no one would doubt that. The Machlokas is about Al Bir Chametz. So according to one opinion, Al Bir Chametz is not appropriate because it's Mashma Meikara. That's on the top line on Dav Zayin Amud Beis. Marasov Meikara Mashma. And Meikara means that you've already implemented the Maisa Mitzvah, in this case the Bedika. And in truth, we have a principle, as Rashi quotes it, bracha on the second line from the top, bracha kodem bedika, that the bracha has to come before the bedika. Yesterday we discussed the machlokas between the Rashba and Rabbeinu Tam about lachniso, and the Rashba proves from the lachniso that the bracha has to be recited before the milah, and Rabbeinu Tam argues no. The bracha of lachniso is not on the ma'aseh milah, it's not a birchas hamitzvah, but rather it's a birchas shevach v'odoyim. So that was the discussion that we had yesterday. Now for today, if you have the rush that I gave out a few days ago, we'll open up to the rush. I gave out a whole bunch of copies. I'm sorry I didn't make any more copies. So the Rosh says the following. Yesh Omrim, says the Rosh. Ein la bodek l'daver ad sheyigmaru habedika. Who's ever checking should not speak anything, as we said yesterday, anything that's irrelevant to the bedika until he completes the bedika. V'yesh Omrim. If you give me your page, I'll try to find it for you. Sorry. V'yesh Omrim. So there are three opinions here in the Rosh. The first opinion says that you should be very careful and not speak out in the middle of the bedika. The second opinion goes even one step further and says if you did speak out in the middle of the bedika, soch bedvarim d'alma shalom ein abdika, it's not relevant to the bedika. You have to go. You have to repeat the bracha a second time. You forfeited the bracha, and then you have the Rosh who says kol se einu nirali. And the Rosh says there's no problem speaking during the course of the bedika. You know, you could talk about anything under the sun. But what you do have to be careful about shalo yasiach bein bracha l'tchilas habedika, not to speak between the bracha and the beginning of the bedika. So let's take the Rosh's shita first, and then we'll try to analyze the other shitos. According to the Rosh, sicha, meaning speaking, could be a hefsek, it could be an interruption when two things have to be conjoined. And which two things, according to the Rosh, have to be conjoined?
Bracha and bedika.
The bracha and the tchilas habedika. Very important that you add the word tchilas habedika. In other words, the Rush doesn't require a tziruf. Tziruf means a connection between the bracha and the sofa bedika. He requires only to attach the bracha to the beginning of the bedika. It's almost like you put the head onto the body, so the head attaches with the neck to the body, and now it's connected to the whole body. You don't have to go beyond that. You don't have to connect the head to the every single member of the body. So according to the Rush, the din of tziruf, the din that there should not be a sicha, we're not going to tolerate a hefsek to interrupt, is between the bracha and the tchilas habadika. So please underline the word tchilas habadika. That word tchila is the key to unlock the mystery of the Rush. And therefore the Rush continues and says, v'achar shehischil, once he's already attached the bracha to the beginning of the bedika, la visicha hefsek. There's no such thing as a sicha, which is a hefsek. Sicha meaning speaking, right? Speaking is not an interruption because you've already begun the bedika. So what you do during the course of the bedika doesn't matter. The bracha is already chal in the bedika. Now you have a responsibility to complete the bedika, and you'll do so. As long as it takes you, it takes you. But you know, you can be distracted during the bedika. Maybe it's not a great thing to be distracted during the bedika, but he says it's not a problem of hefsek because I only need to attach the bracha to the tchilas habedika. Once having accomplished that connection, I'm okay. Now I can continue doing the bedika. And I'll prove it to you, says the Rosh. Midi dehavi, it's similar to Adyeshiva sukkah. You make a bracha when you sit in the sukkah, and then you go ahead and you speak about whatever you speak about, hopefully not Lashon Hara in the sukkah, right? Uka Adam Hamidabrim Tov Su'udaso. Take for example, I make a bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, I start my Su'uda, and now I speak about whatever I want to speak. The law of Yisicha Hefsek, we don't need that the bracha be connected to the entire process of either Yishiv Besukah in that example, or the Achila Sasuda in that example. Lahatzrich Lachzor Levarech HaLasukah, or Birchas Hamotzi. Now you're going to tell me, you know, yes, it has a rhetorical question, I have to repeat the bracha for the remainder because there was a hefsek sicha in the middle of my yeshiva besukah. I started talking about who knows what, and now I'm going to have to make another bracha. Or in the middle of my suda, I started talking, and now I'm going to have to make another bracha. And the Rush is about to ask himself a question, so we'll take a little bit of a break over here before the words the lo matzinu. Because the Rush does find a source, a basis for the other shita, the Yesh Omrim, that there is such a thing as a hefsek sicha, but he's going to tell you that that's the exception to the rule rather than the rule. So as far as the Rush is concerned, the rule is established by number one, sukkah, yeshiva besukkah, number two, by achilas seuda, and in both those paradigmic cases, we allow you to be sach as long as there's no hefsek, there's no sicha between the brach and the beginning. So once you start your yeshiva, you're okay. Once you start your seuda, you're okay. And then you can go ahead and speak as long as you want. There's no need to actively connect the bracha to the end of the mitzvah, the end of the seuda. Now, truth be told, Rabos, I have to tell you the truth, I don't understand the Rush's analogy to the case of Seuda. Seuda is a whole different issue whatsoever. I mean, we categorize brachos under many different categories. And the category that we're focusing on is a category of a mitzvah. We want to know, in Birchas HaMitzvah, does the brach have to be connected to the entire mitzvah? Or is it enough that you connect the bracha to the beginning of the mitzvah? That's a very fascinating question, but it has nothing to do with Seuda. The bracha on the Seuda is not a bracha on a mitzvah at all, although there is such an entity called the Seudas Mitzvah, but that's not what we're discussing now. This Seuda is included in one bracha, so that's a Birchas Hanenin. So, for example, if I have an apple on the table, I make a bar pre-eitz, I'm not allowed to be sach, I'm not allowed to be mafsik until I take a bite out of the apple. And if I take my bite out of the apple, I'm good to go, and I can talk about anything in the middle. The whole purpose of a birchas hanenim is to allow me to enjoy this world without a bracha, meaning I have to make the bracha. Once I make the bracha moves on its own, so to speak, and it sets up a framework of a heter of permission, and now I don't have to constantly, every time I eat something, I have to constantly touch base with the bracha and say, oh, where's my bracha, you know, oh, I did this all with one bracha. But in the case of birchas hamitzvah, Wait, if you haven't completed the mitzvah, where's the bracha on the mitzvah? You know, you made the bracha on the beginning of the mitzvah. That doesn't prove anything about the end of the mitzvah. Where was the bracha on the end of the mitzvah? So if you ask me where the Rosh has the upper hand over here with a perfect analogy, it's going to be the case of sukkah. Because in the case of the bracha on the sukkah, that's not a birchas hanenim at all. That's a classical case of a birchas hamitzvah. And the question is, my mitzvah continues. I started yeshiva b'sukkah when I began my meal or when I sat down, whatever I did. And now I continue. It's every single part of my yeshiva b'sukkah is another mitzvah. And I can continue and I can integrate all of my yeshiva from the beginning till the end until I leave the sukkah under one bracha, but only if there's no hefsek, if I haven't discontinued the relationship between the bracha and the end of my yeshiva. Comes along the Rosh and he says, here, I'll prove to you that in Birchas HaMitzvah, the only connection I need is between the bracha and the Tchilas HaMitzvah. Because in the case of Sukkah, I connected my bracha to the first act of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, but I have many acts subsequently, and those acts are not connected back to the bracha because I was sach in the middle. And the answer is that Sicha is not a hefsek in the middle of a mitzvah. So if we're going to go back now and analyze the sheet of the Yesh Omrim, and certainly the Yesh Mosifim, who say that if you were sach in the middle of your bedika, you're going to have to make another bracha for the last part of your bedika, because the last part of your bedika is absolutely separated. The wedge that severs the relationship between the bracha and the hemshek habedika is the sicha in the middle. That interruption will now discontinue your relationship between the bracha that you started with and the end of your bedika. You have to make another bracha. But why not say the same thing in the case of sukkah? That if you discontinued your relationship between the original bracha and the last part of your yeshiva b'sukkah, you're going to need a bracha for the last part of the yeshiva b'sukkah. That's the Rosh's Kasha's objection on the Yesh Omrim, and therefore he says, Kol Zeh Eino Nirali, just set up that connection between the bracha and the beginning of your mitzvah, the beginning of your bedika, and you're good to go. Then you can be sach as much as you want. Midi Dahavi, it's similar to the case of Yeshiva B'sukkah. And now we have to try to make sense out of the Yesh Omrim. Because again, even if the Rosh rejects the Yesh Omrim were one of the Rishonim, he's not talking about someone who, you know, who's off the charts, who has no relationship to the Masorah Satorah, and therefore we are duty bound to give some explanation, some justification for the Shita that Sicha would break up the connection between your bracha on bedika and the last part of your bedika, and it's going to require you to make another bracha. So why is it different than sukkah? So the thought occurred to me the following, that in sukkah we have a principle called teshu kein taduru. What do I mean? That in sukkah, the mitzvah is not a particular action. The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah the same way you'd live in your house. Now, if you were living in your house and you were enjoying the benefit of having a meal, for example, in your house, it would be a little bit too severe and too strict to say, well, we don't allow talking in the middle of our meal. It's natural and it's normal living to speak during the course of a meal. And therefore, if the yeshiva b'sukkah incorporates the entire meal as it would have taken place in your house, that's called Teshu Ke'en Taduru, then Sicha is not going to be a hefsek. But if the Rosh would want to prove his point, you know, he could do so by, let's say, a person would make a bracha when he washes his hands, and then before he dries his hands, he would be mafsik, because negiva, which means drying your hands, is part of the mitzvah. That would be a good question. You know, maybe in that case you would have to make another bracha, because the bracha on netilah was not chal, wasn't related to the negiva, insofar as there was a hefsek sicha in the middle that broke up the connection. Or take, for example, shchita. In shchita you require how many simonim? Who remembers? Two simonim. You have to check the kan and the veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus, right? So you have to check the two simonim. So what would be if he made a bracha on the shechita and he was mafsik, he spoke out in the middle between the first simon and the other simon? Then that would be a good question. And therefore, there maybe the bracha would not be chal vis-a-vis the second simon. So you'd have to make another bracha on the second sima. But the case of sukkah is a little bit different, because in sukkah, your mitzvah encompasses even the sicha. Sicha is not a foreign element. It's all part of... In fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have a discussion with a friend of yours, you should take him into the sukkah and say to him, hey, let's schmooze inside the sukkah, because that's where we want to be mekayim the mitzvah of teishu kein tadu. But in the case of another mitzvah where sicha clearly has nothing to do with the mitzvah, like for example, I was wondering, what would you say in the case of a shofar? If in the middle of shofar blowing, you know, he heard X number of kolos, he still has to hear Y number of kolos, and he starts talking about the football game, and in such a case, he would need a bracha on the rest of the kolos. That's not analogous to the case of yeshiva besukkah. We have a mitzvah of shofar. It's made up of many, many different parts. All these parts have to be integrated into one whole. So in a funny sort of sense, I think that the burden of proof here is on the shoulders of the Rosh, because the Rosh wants to say that, you know what, the Tchilas HaMitzvah has to be connected to the Bracha, and that's it. And the rest of, so where's the relationship between the Bracha and the rest of the Mitzvah? It occurs to me, I heard once from my Rebbe, that Birchas HaMitzvah is not so far removed from Birchas HaNenim, that even Birchas HaMitzvah is a kind of a matir, meaning you're not allowed to perform a mitzvah until you make a brach. You have to thank Hashem and acknowledge Him for giving you the wonderful opportunity of doing a mitzvah. How am I? We should have that attitude towards all our mitzvahs, that they're really great opportunities, wonderful opportunities, and we have to ask Hashem to give us these opportunities. The Chasdei David, who was a super commentary on the Tosefta, his name was Rabbi David Pardo. He lived about 4 centuries ago in Italy. He was an Italian Jew. So he writes that there are 2 types of kachim. There's kachim kalim and kachim kachim, 2 levels. You know, one is the lower level and one is a higher level. And he says that the Birchas HaNenim is on kachim kalim. It's on the lower level of kachim. And a Birchas HaMitzvah is on kachim kachim, on a higher level of kodesh, of something that's even more sanctified. So if that be the case, what the Rosh might be arguing is that just like a Birchas HaNenim, once I make the brach, I'm allowed to be nana, and as long as I started my hanah, that hanah was connected to my bracha. The rest of the balance of my hanah fits into the matir, to this framework of permission. And the same thing can apply to the mitzvah. Once I connect the beginning of the mitzvah to my bracha, now the entire mitzvah can be fulfilled. I can take my time. I can speak. There's no such din as a hefsek. On the other hand, the logic of the Yesh Omrim here, and certainly the Yesh Mosifim, is very compelling, because the bracha is not singularly related to the beginning of the mitzvah, less than it is to the middle of the mitzvah or the end of the mitzvah. So how did you connect this bracha to the end of the mitzvah?
If you picked up a lulav and etrog, and you had in mind, and you held the bracha, and you had in mind that you were fulfilling the mitzvah of arba minim, and you didn't say a bracha, have you done the mitzvah?
So that's going to be the subject here of this Tosfos Divrei Maschil Lotzeis, which maybe we'll get to today. But basically, before we get to all the complications of Tosfos, if you ask me for a simple answer to your question, once I've already taken the lulav, it's too late to recite the bracha, right? Because Omer L'Asiyosin is absolutely critical.
Right. So, but that's not really an answer to my question.
Oh, what was your question again? I thought that's what you were asking. I didn't understand. Have you fulfilled the mitzvah? Yes. We paskin that ein habracha makeves es hamitzvah. Did I miss a beat somewhere? Or okay, good. Now I was thinking maybe we could add another thought, another element into this discussion, and maybe we could say the following: that a bracha has to be related, according to the Yesh Mefarshim, to the entire mitzvah. And therefore, how do I generate that connection? Perhaps the Rosh holds that since I have responsibility and obligation to finish the mitzvah, to complete the mitzvah, and I haven't fulfilled my obligation until I complete the mitzvah, so that that obligation itself connects the beginning of the mitzvah to the end of the mitzvah. I don't have to mentally, you know, I don't have to be mentally involved in my mind, you know, single-mindedly connected to the thoughts of the mitzvah from the beginning to the end. The very fact that I'm obligated, meaning, according to the Rush, once I connect the bracha to the tchilas ha-mitzvah, now the bracha is connected to the kiyum ha-mitzvah, to the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Now, I only achieve the fulfillment of the mitzvah when I complete my bedikah. For example, if I have 10 rooms in the house and I check 9 out of 10, I haven't checked the 10th room, I haven't fulfilled my obligation yet. So it could be that this albatross, so to speak, that's hovering over my head or around my neck, that says to me, you haven't fulfilled your obligation until you complete the mitzvah, that connects the entire mitzvah into one body. It's all one entity. And the fact that there's this obligation that is incumbent upon me to complete the mitzvah, that itself connects the beginning of the mitzvah to the end of the mitzvah. Now, I was wondering, what would the Rush say about the following case? Let's say you had two houses, two separate houses, and you made the bracha, you completed the bedika on the first house, and now you're about to commence the bedika on the second house, and you are mafsik in between. Is the Rush going to allow hefsek between one bias and another bias? I'll give you another example. The law is that if a shochet is shechting a bunch of animals, so he only makes one bracha on the first animal, and then he shechts the next animal, the next animal, the next animal. Would the Rush agree that in such a case, I need a positive tziruf? In other words, I can't allow for any interruption whatsoever between the first shechita and the second shechita, because now each shechita sets up a mitzvah unto itself. The law is that one bracha could cover multiple mitzvahs, but that's only if there was no hefsek between one mitzvah and the other. When does the Rush allow for hefsek? Only within one mitzvah. Within one mitzvah, then once you connected the bracha to the beginning of the mitzvah, you're allowed to be mafsek. The Rush has no problem with that. Why? Because you're still involved in one mitzvah. So the mitzvah itself is a single entity. You've already established a connection between the bracha and that entity called a mitzvah. But now if you go on to a second mitzvah, now I need a positive tziruf to connect the bracha to the second mitzvah. So again, giving my paradigm of two shechitos, you have two animals in front of you, you're shechting both animals, you want to patur up both of them with one bracha, you can't be mafsik between the first shechita and the second shechita. That's something that even the Rush would accept, because now I have to set up the bracha on each mitzvah unto itself, and the only way I can do that is if I have a continuous action of one bracha, one mitzvah, and then the other mitzvah. But if I was mafsik v'sicha, then certainly the Rush would agree that the bracha is not connected to the second mitzvah; it was only connected to the first mitzvah.
So the
mitzvah
is okay.
Right. Well, again, we're talking about football. That's why I keep mentioning football or whatever your favorite sport you're into. Now the Rush asks himself a kasha. The Gemara itself says that if you interrupt with a debris, you have to make another bracha. Says the Rush, the lomatzinu sicha davi hefsek elamein tefillin litfillin. It means like that. You made a bracha on your tefillin shel yad, and now you're going to put on your tefillin shel Rosh. According to this opinion, again, not everybody agrees, you don't need to make a second bracha, or at least you don't have to make, according to other opinions, another lohaniach on your tefillin shel Rosh. But that's conditional on the fact that you were not mafsik besicha. Again, you didn't speak about the football game between the tefillin shel yad and the tefillin shel Rosh. So now we have to ask the following question. We see that there is a halacha of sicha havi hefsek, that speaking out does create a hefsek and requires another bracha. So now when you get to your tefillin shel Rosh, and you in the middle between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel Rosh, you spoke about the football game, you're going to have to make another bracha, let's call it laniach, on the tefillin shel Rosh. So he says, no, that's not an issue. Why? Bishum de bracha rishona kaimi nami anochas tefillin shel Rosh. He means to say that there are two different mitzvahs here. There's a mitzvah tefillin shel yad, and there's a mitzvah tefillin shel Rosh. you have to make a bracha on each one of them. You can pat them both up, you can kill two birds with one stone and make one laniach, but that laniach is really a bracha not only on the tefillin shel yad, but it's also on the tefillin shel rosh. How do I connect that bracha of laniach to the tefillin shel rosh? The answer is because there was no hefsek. So it was one continuous action, and that sets up the linkage between the bracha and the tefillin shel rosh. But in Sach, if he speaks out again about the football game between the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh, tzarch levarach pam acheres laniach tefillin lepirush rabbeinu. Tam l'rashi nami came in the tray mitzvahs ninu v'lamakvi adadi etc. etc. Then he has to make a brach of laniach. So we don't make a brach on laniach on the tefillin shel rosh, but we really should, and in fact we do. Because the brach that we recite on the tefillin shel yad is also a brach on the tefillin shel rosh. But how do we connect our brach on the tefillin shel yad with the tefillin shel rosh? The answer is because there was no hefsek. Once there's a hefsek, that interruption, that dibur, will wedge between the brach of laniach on the tefillin shel yad and the hanochas tefillin shel rosh. Therefore, we're going to have to make another, we're going to have to recite another brach. So again, I think the overall principles in the rosh are the following two principles. Number one, as far as all mitzvahs are concerned, when you begin a mitzvah and you end a mitzvah, the bracha has to be recited before and connected to the beginning of the mitzvah. There's no din of hefsek for the balance of that mitzvah. Rule number two, according to the Rosh, if, however, you're fulfilling two mitzvahs and the bracha has to be chal, has to be conjoined not only to the first mitzvah but also to the second mitzvah, that could only be applicable if there was no hefsek sicha. And if there was hefsek sicha, you're going to need another bracha on the second mitzvah. Now the Rosh sort of backtracks a little. He says, "Miu lechatchila tov." You know, if you want to get a good recommendation, tov lizar shelo yasok besicha b'teilat sheimar kol abdika kula. A person can get easily distracted if he starts talking about this, that, and the other thing. And if he wants to get the maximum focus and not be distracted, it's a good idea that he shouldn't speak about anything that's not relevant to the bedika until he finishes the bedika. Kadesha Yasim Alibo, he should absolutely concentrate with every ounce of energy in his mind and his body, Livdok Bachadorim, to check all the rooms, Ubalios and the attics, Ubachol Makush Machnisim Bo Chometz, and anywhere where there might be Chometz. Then he gives you another piece of advice. You know, says the Rosh, once I'm giving you good recommendations, I have another recommendation for you. Having recommended that you shouldn't get distracted during your bedika with other things, now I want to recommend what happens if you have a tremendous amount of work to do and it's almost asking too much for one human being to check. You know, the man lives, Baruch Hashem, in a palace and he's got 35 rooms and he's got attics and he's got this, that, and the other thing. So he says if it's too much for him, Yamid mi b'nei beis ha'aretz, so he should get together his family, b'shashu mevarech, they should all hear his bracha, and they become his agents. So yispazru, it's like divide and conquer. You know, each person will take a wing of the house and call echad yivdok ish mekomo al smach ha'bracha. And each person who heard the original bracha of the Baal Bayis, he will fulfill not only his bedika on whatever area of the house is delegated to him, but he's also going to fulfill the bracha because he heard the bracha of the Baal Bayis. The impression I get from this rush is that if, let's say, you divide up your 10 rooms amongst 10 different family members and only 9 were there at the time that the Baal Bayis gathered everyone together and made the bracha, one of them was in the washroom or wherever he was, then that person, when he gets to his particular room, will have to make, he will have to recite his own bracha because he didn't hear the bracha of the Baal Bayis.
Would children be able to...
So that we had back on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Let's go back to Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the sugya of children. And we had a brisa, and the brisa says the following: Hakol ne'amanim al biru chometz afilu noshim afilu avodim afilu ktan. And then you ask the question: how is that possible? After all, we don't rely on these. And the Gemara answers that midaraisa bitaba masagile, and this whole institution of bedika is only drabbanon, hemnu rabbanon, bidrabbanon. The rabbanon trusted those who for a daraisa would not be trusted, but since they created this institution, therefore they can rely on whoever they want. Tosfos has Yerushalmi that this doesn't apply to Noshim and probably not to Ketanim. At the end of this Tosfos Dibur Masel Hemnuho, if you want to look on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, he speaks about Ketanim and he says that so you have to know exactly how to read that Tosfos. So Blineta, when we finish Hilchos Megillah and Hilchos Purim, we'll learn Hilchos Bedikas Chometz in the Mishnah Berurah, and we'll see to what extent can you trust the Katan to participate in the Bedikah. So again, Mar Sava, we're on the top of Daf Zayin Amud Beis, made Kara Mashma, Mar Sava Lahaba Mashma. According to one opinion, this is the opinion of Rav Papi. Rav Papi was the one who said in the name of Rava that you have to make the brach with Levayer, because Al Bir Chometz is made Kara Mashma, which means it's on what I've already done, it's in the past tense, and I haven't done the Bedikah yet, so that's not an appropriate. But Mar Sava Lahaba Mashma, but Rav Papa is of the opinion, in his version of Rava, that Le Al Bir Chometz is also Lahava Mashma. Meisve. Let's take a look at a Braisa, which Lechora would clearly indicate that a bracha with an Al is an appropriate bracha. And we're talking about the Moel, who's about to perform the mitzvah of Mila on behalf of the father. Baruch Hashem Yitzhar Mitzvosav Vitzivanu Ala Mila. So we see that the word Al indicates that he hasn't yet performed the Mila. And that means that Al is Lahava Mashma and not Meikara Mashma. So the Gemara now has to defend the Madiyomu, who says that Al is Meikara Mashma. How could it be an appropriate, acceptable bracha for Mila? That doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara answers, Hasam, in the case of Mila, we have no choice. Hechi Nema, what nusach can we use? Nema Lomul, if we go with the Lamed, which according to this Mandiomer, and everybody agrees with this point, is Lahaba Mashma. So the Gemara says that the word, the verb with that's introduced by a Lamed, that's conjugated with a Lamed, has another implication. Not only does it mean in the future, but it also means an obligation. Meaning, Asher Kidshom Mitzvosov Lamul. Lamul means I'm obligated to do the Mila. That would not be appropriate for a Moel. Why? The Losagi, the Lavi Moel? Is it not enough that he has to do the Mila? He's not the one who has to do the Mila. Who has to do the Mila?
The father.
So the Moel is just a stand up, you know, he's just a replacement of the father, but he's certainly not. What? Maybe he's a shliach, I don't know, I don't want to get into that, it's a tremendous controversy, but in any event, he's certainly not the Bar Chiyuva, he's certainly not obligated in the midst of Mila, so the Lomul, which indicates the Chovas Gavra, meaning the obligation on the person to do the Mila, is an absolutely inappropriate Nusach, because it's the Aviyah Ben who's really obligated in the mitzvah. Now, somehow we're going to solve this problem by shifting the bracha from Lamed to Al. When the bracha is made with an Al, it indicates that the mitzvah has to be done. It doesn't indicate that I'm obligated in the mitzvah. So Al is a more generic term, Al HaMila, meaning this mitzvah is commanded on Mila, but not me. I'm not obligated Lamul. The action is not my obligation. It's really my, the father's obligation. But Al HaMila means that you, God, gave us this obligation for Mila, not necessarily that I'm going to do the Mila. So the bracha of Al is on the, we'll call it the mitzvah itself, not on the obligation to do the mitzvah. Maybe we'll call it the kiyum mitzvah. And that bracha of Al is broad enough to be appropriate even for someone who's performing the Mila, but performing the mitzvah, but he's not obligated in the mitzvah, in this case the Moel. So now the Gemara turns around and says, Havia ben ma'ika le'meimar. Well, what happens in a case where the father of the son is doing the Mila himself? Let's say, for argument's sake, he's trained as a Moel, So then it seems that the appropriate nusach should be lomu, because he's indeed obligated. Enochinamis. Gemara says yes. There's not one nusach habracha for mila. There are two alternative nuschos, and it all depends who's doing the mila. If the boil is doing the mila, then it's al hamila. If the father or the son is doing the mila, he's performing the mila himself, and he's obligated. It's lomu, and that's the way the Gemara understands. Now, Tosus points out that this Gemara is very problematic. Why? Because the Gemara says that the Moel has to make a bracha with an al, and he cannot make a bracha with a lamed because he's not obligated. So Tosus says, I don't get it. We said that according to Rapapi, you cannot use the nusach of al because al is made karamashma, means it's going on the past, not on the future. And if he's about to perform the mitzvah, he uses the language al, that's sheker. That he's lying. He's declaring that he's already fulfilled the mitzvah, and the mitzvah has already been done, when in truth it hasn't been done yet. So Tosa says in the case of Mila, okay, I understand your problem here. In the case of the Moel, there's no way he could say lamul. But on the other hand, what's your other option? You're telling me that the Moel should say Ala Mila, but Ala Mila is made Karamashma according to this opinion, which means that he's already performed the Mila, and that's Sheker because he hasn't yet performed the Mila. So therefore, Rabbeinu Tam on the top line of Daf Zayin and Beis says, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam Lishaavar Mashma Tfei Mila Haba. What it means is the following, that even according to a puppy who prefers Levayer chametz, meaning with a lamed, because al is made karamash, but don't misinterpret. It doesn't mean that al is only mashma made kara. It's also mashma ktsas lahaba. In other words, you can fetch it in. It's not the simple, straightforward meaning or translation of the lamed, but you could broaden, if need be, you know, the interpretation, the meaning of a lamed. So therefore, according to one man, if all things are equal and you have two equal choices between an al and a li, which are we going to prefer? A lamed. Why? Because the lamed indicates lahaba. However, if there's no choice, if we have to exclude lamed for another reason, because lamed indicates a chiyuv, a bar chiyuva, and now the moel is implementing the midabila, then in such a case, we're going to fall back on the mashma nami ktsas lahaba of al. That the ala mila, you can stretch it, you can fetch into it, that it means lahaba, it means in the future. Says Tosa, it has to be so, because the ilo mashma klal lahaba el shavar. If you're going to tell me, according to one man, the omer al means meikara, which is called lishavar, going on the past, that it has no mashma'ut, it has no possible meaning, even if you stretch it to mean lahaba, in kein hechi kom v'samach, how can the Gemara say, name a lomu lo sagdi lavi moil, that the moil cannot possibly recite a bracha lomu, because he's not obligated to mila, v'shvchi b'shvil she'ein on a yodim l'sake in yomar sheker, because we don't know exactly which nusach to apply, we have to find a nusach that on the one hand indicates lahaba, and at the same time, it doesn't necessarily indicate a bar chiyuva. It can be applicable, as Gershon said before, to a shliach as well. So we have to come up with such a nusach. And if we can't come up with such a nusach, then we have to come up with such a nusach. Because otherwise, if he says al, it's going to be sheker. So how could the Gemara possibly allow for a bracha with an al in the case of the moel? And the answer must be that even if you hold al is made kara mashma, nevertheless, it's also ktsas mashma lahab. Tosa says, lo sagi de lavi moil. It's not required that he does the mila. De ala av mutal. The obligation is on the father. Now Tosa wants to know the following. If a non-Jew comes for gerus, then he needs mila and tvila. Now the Moel is going to make the bracha on the mila. What bracha will he recite? Will he recite lomul or will he recite al hamila? In the case of a regular mila of a young child, you know, 8 days old, it depends if he's obligated, he's the Moel or he's the father. If he's the father, he's going to make the bracha lomul. If he's the Moel and he's not obligated, he'll make the bracha al. What about in the case of milas gerim? Says Tosfos, in the case of milas gerim, lomul es agerim. There's no difference between the Moel and anybody else. We're all equally responsible to bring this non-Jew into the faith of Judaism and implement the gerus, in this case the milah of gerus. There's no difference between the moel in the case of a ger and the father in the case of a son who's 8 days old. In both cases, there's an obligation which justifies the language of lomel. So again, we only use the ala milah as a fallback position because we had no other choice, and even though it's only ktsas mashma lahava, we're going to have to use the al because in the shas hadchak we have a very difficult situation. That's only in the case of a moel who's circumcising someone else's son and he's not obligated in the mitzvah. When it comes to milas gerim, the moel is no less obligated than anyone else. Now, what's fascinating about this is that the premise of Tosfos seems to be that there's an obligation to circumcise a non-Jew as part of the process of Geirus. I mean, I don't know, you know, is anybody here who's willing to raise his hand and say, oh, I'm obligated to that mitzvah, just that I'm going to let someone else do it for me, you know?
It's the non-Jew that is obligated.
Not really. I'll tell you why. The Gemara is going to say that he's not obligated because he's not Jewish. but that's a far cry from saying that you and I are obligated. Because what shaykhus do I have to this gentleman who wants to be mal? And I would have said the following, if not for Tosfos, that the obligation to be mal a ger is incumbent upon the Jewish nation, as a tzibur, as a body. An indivisible body. It's not Reuven, Shimon, or Levi. You know, it's not Steve, Larry, or Joe. No one has an individual obligation that he can't sleep at night because he didn't see to it that this ger was gemalt. But Tosfos says no. It might start with a chovas tzibur, but then it filters down to a chovas yochid, and each individual can say asher kishonu v'tosef tzivanu lovel es ager, not ala mila, but lovel es ager. Now all this, Rabbi, I'll say, don't get confused. This is not la locha, because everything that we're studying is according to the Ma'adi Yomar, who holds levayer. We paskin at the end of the Gemara, we're going to get to it soon, that the bracha is al birchamach, which means that al is mashma lahava. So again, all these distinctions, you know, between the father who's doing the milah, as opposed to the moel who's doing the milah, or in the case of Milas Gerim, that we're all like the father, and therefore we can recite out. All these distinctions are only to understand and analyze that shita that holds that the bracha on Bir Chometz has to be levayer, because al Bir Chometz is meikara mashma, l'shavar mashma. But we're going to paskin at the end of the day. I'm just giving you a heads up here, you know, a preview of coming attractions. We're going to paskin like the Ma'adi Yomar, who says al Bir Chometz, and al is lahava mashma. Therefore, in the case of Mila, not only will the father make the bracha if he's the moel, al hamila, but even the moel himself will make the bracha al hamila. Maybe I should say it the other way around. Not only is the moel going to make the bracha al hamila, but even the father himself is going to make the bracha of al hamila, because al is lahava mashma. And in Bir Chometz, we're going to make the bracha al Bir Chometz. In Gerim, for sure, we'll make the bracha of al milas Gerim. Now, I was wondering, according to Tosfos, what happens when the ger feels a little better. I mean, he's not feeling too good now after the milah, but when he gets a little, when he's up to it, he jumps into a mikvah, because there's no milah, there's no gerus without A plus B. What's A? Milah. What's B? Tvila. So he needs tvila as well. Are we going to make another bracha on the tvila? Or is one bracha suffice for both? Why?
Because you need both. Two separate things. If you have one,
are there two separate mitzvahs?
Two separate mitzvahs. So that means he's not megayer unless he does both things.
Right. So I would say it's one mitzvah that's comprised of two parts. You want to say it's two mitzvahs.
If it's one mitzvah that comprises two parts, what about the interruption between them?
Excellent. That was going to be my next question. If it's one mitzvah, then this should depend upon the machlokas between the Eish Omrim and the Rush, because the Rush says if you have one long mitzvah, you can be machzik in the middle. So that's okay. But if you go with the Eish Mefarshim and you assume that Mila and Tefillah is one mitzvah, then you can't be machzik until you finish the Tefillah. Now, I don't think he's going to jump into the mikvah immediately after the mila. Like, he's hurting, you know what I mean? And if he's covering it with a bandage, you know, that's going to be what's called a Yes, okay, chatzitza separation. Toshma, the Gemara has another proof that al is a very appropriate nusach habracha, and it's mashma lehaba. Meisvei baruch atosh baruch asher kitzarim. It's also tzimono al hashchita. Now, in the case of shchita, we all share the same level of obligation. So you can't use the answer that we gave before, that al amila indicates that you the mo'el are not connected to this mitzvah. So Gemara says no. Hasam nami hechi neima. What would you say over here? Neima lishchot. Is there an obligation? Again, the lamed always indicates chovas gavra, an obligation. Lo sagi lavi'u shachit. Would he be in violation of any mitzvah if he didn't do the shechita? Nowhere does the Torah tell me that I have to do the shechita. Later on, the Gemara is going to quote a case where I do have to do the shechita. But 99% of shechitos are totally voluntary. So the word lamed, the word lishchot, is inappropriate. Again, not because of the distinction between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the Moel and Shimon is the Aviah Ben. And therefore, it's inappropriate for Reuven to say Lomel and declare that he's obligated. Here, we're all equal as far as Shechita is concerned. And there's no one who's obligated. But if there's no one who's obligated, how can anybody say Lomel or Lishchot? So therefore, we can justify the change in the Nusach HaBracha from Lamed to an Al, based on the fact that no one, and certainly not any particular shochet, has the chomus gavra, the obligation to shech the animal. So Gemara says Pesach v'kodshim ma'ikel meimar. Here are two cases where the Baal HaKorban is obligated in shechita. Again, he may set up, as Gersh said before, some proxy, but nevertheless, if he were to shech the korban Pesach himself, or in the case of Kodshim, let's say he were, again, the truth is that Shechita is very bizarre, so what I'm about to say is not really accurate, but let's just say it in a more superficial way. Let's say that the Baal HaKorban is a Kohen. So he could shech the animal. He's a very well-experienced shochet, and he's obligated in Shechita. Ma'ikel u'meimar. Why should he make the bracha al ha-shechita enoch inami? So Gemara says, yeah, in such a case, he'll make the bracha lishchot. Not al ha-shechita, but asher kitzarim mitzvos of lishchot. And Rashi points out at Pesach v'kodshim, about 10 lines down from the top, he says, ha-bailun nitztavu, tichsiv v'somach yodav v'shochat. So the Baal of the Korban is obligated. Now, in the case of Pesach, there are many, many members of that group, of that Chabura, and each one is obligated. He's also included in the Shachat. So one of them will actually implement that obligation, but nevertheless, when he does so, his Nusach HaBracha should be Lishchot, with a Lamed, according to this Mandiyom. So Gemara says, Einochinam. Meisvei, Ha'ose lulav li'atzmo. Now this is a fascinating sugya that has to do with what's called asiyas ha-mitzvah. Not asiyas ha-mitzvah in the classical sense, but asiyas ha-chefet shal ha-mitzvah. What do I mean? That in certain mitzvahs, you have to create the object and then you can fulfill the mitzvah. The object has to be created first. For example, in the case of lulav, we need to gather together at least three out of the four minim and create what's called agad. Do you remember that? Nothing to do with the bus company. Although it's spelled the same way. But agad means that you have to tie them together. You have to bind them together. And in sukkah, you have also a mitzvah of setting up the schach on top of the defanos. That's also an asiyas cheftza shel mitzvah. And the Gemara says that insofar as the asiya sets up the mitzvah, it becomes a mitzvah unto itself, so to speak. Not exactly a mitzvah. We don't make a bracha asher kitzarim mitzvos v'tzimonim, but we do make a bracha of shechiyonu. We're excited about this first kickoff, so to speak, first stage in the mitzvah. So the Brisa says, "Oso lulav li'atzmo mevarach shechiyonu v'kimonu v'yonu l'zman hazeh." This is the part of the Brisa that we're focused on. He's about to grab the Dalet Minim to make his bracha. Omer, he should recite Asher Kitshonu Mitzvos V'Tzimonu Al Netilas Lulav. Notice that. It doesn't say Litol Es HaLulav, but rather Al Netilas Lulav. Now, if you hold that Al is Meikara Mashmal Shavar, he's about to take the Lulav and he's making a bracha Al? How do you justify that? And none of the other answers that we gave will be appropriate here, because in lieu of, obviously you're obligated. You know, you can't pass the buck and say, well, the father is obligated, or pass the buck and say, well, we're all equally not obligated. You are chayav in the mitzvah, so you should be making a bracha on the chofetz gavra, and it should be lahava, which means it should be li toles al lulav, not al netilas lulav. Shiny hossam. The case of lulav is the exception. And why is that? The be'idna, at the moment the agbah, at the moment that he picks up the lulav, nafik bay, he already fulfilled his obligation, and therefore the bracha is going to have to be meikara. I already fulfilled my obligation. It can't be lital es alulav because I've already taken the lulav. It's got to be al nitilas lulav, which means on the mitzvah that I've already fulfilled. Now, wait a minute. There's something very strange going on here, as Tosfos is going to point out. What does it mean? What does it mean that you've already fulfilled the mitzvah? If you've already fulfilled the mitzvah, it's a little bit too late for a bracha. As the Gemara is going to prove later on, that every bracha has to come before the mitzvah and cannot be recited after the mitzvah. So what's going on here? The Gemara is saying that the reason why the bracha of al netilas lulav is on an al is because he's already fulfilled his mitzvah. Well, if he's already fulfilled his mitzvah, why is he making a bracha at all? But the Gemara asks a different question. Tosfos is going to deal with that question. You'll take a quick peek here. Keep one finger on the words "I hachi" in the Gemara, then put another finger on Tosfos Dibur Masel Be'idna, the third Tosfos from the top. He says, "V'im Tomer came in the Nafik, if he already fulfilled his mitzvah, hech yivarech? How can he even make the bracha?" Okay, you justify that we shift the nusa from lame to an al, but there shouldn't be a bracha at all. Hello, tzarek levarech over lasiyoso. The Omer Reed, the Afikav did nothing. It's still, even though he fulfilled his mitzvah, he still is anticipating some segment of the mitzvah, some hashlama, some completion of the mitzvah, and that's going to justify what's called over lasiyoso. The akati osek b'mitzvah shetzarech l'nanea b'kriyas hahalel. Now there are two points I want to make. First of all, according to the Re, when is Nanuim performed? Hallel. Anybody have a different minute? Am I the only one?
No. I do it in the Sukkah.
Yeah. Don't you do it right after the Bracha? So it's interesting. The Re doesn't know of that minute. I have a feeling that the minute that, again, I have and you have, Usher, to do the Nanuim immediately, might be based on the Rambam Shita, and also the Bali Kabbalah, the Arizal, and others. But the Re understands that you're going to take the lulav and make the bracha on the lulav, and then you're going to do the nanu when you get up to Hallel. That's point number one. Point number two, and this is the real breakthrough of the Re, is that the fact that I anticipate taking nanuim, doing the nanuim in Hallel, justifies making a bracha on the mitzvah of lulav. It means that nanuim and halel is not a kiyum halel, it's not an enhancement of halel, it's an enhancement in the midst of lulav. And that's a pretty radical position that has to be studied very, very carefully. But we're back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ihachi Lotzeispo. Why does the Brisa say that Nitolo, he took the lulav Lotzeispo, meaning in order to fulfill his mitzvah, Yatzebo mi boile. It should have said Yatzebo. In other words, once he was Yotze, now he makes the bracha. So Gemara says, Enochinami, really it should say in the Raisa, it should say Yatzabo. He already fulfilled his mitzvah, because Midba Agbe, Nafikbe. Once he picked it up, he was Yotze. There's a technical reason which deals with the rules of the literature that justifies the change in language. And that's called ID. Are you familiar with that principle? Aleph, Yud, Yud, Dalet, Yud. Which means, ID means that if I need a language for another part of the presentation of a mission of a Braisa, then I'll use, in order to remain uniform, I'll use the same language even where it's not exactly my first choice. And that's where the Gemara is applying that kind of a principle. Mishum the Kabbalah Misnei Sefer, because he wants to contrast the case of the Tilsluv to the case of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. And in the Sefer, it's Leshev Basukkah. And Leshev means that he's about to sit down in the Sukkah. Again, this is a very heavy issue. I'm going to assume, which again, this is, you know, this is a million times over an oversimplification, but let's just accept it for now, just to get by the Gemara, that the mitzvah requires that he sits down in the sukkah. We're going to take the word yeshiva literally. Again, I'm, by a million times, I'm oversimplifying a very complicated. So now, he goes into the sukkah. He hasn't yet sat down in the sukkah. And the Bryce is going to say, Leshev Basukkah. In other words, he's about to sit down. He makes the bracha before he implements the mitzvah of yeshiva. Yeshiva literally sitting in the sukkah. So once in the sefer, he has to use the word leshev. Is tana resha nami in the resha in order to make it symmetrical. He uses the language latzeis bo, that he's about to take the lulav to fulfill the lulav. When in truth, he's really already taken the lulav and he's already fulfilled his mitzvah. But nevertheless, the Bryce employs the term latzeis bo in the future, that he's taking the lulav in order to fulfill his mitzvah. He's already fulfilled his mitzvah. But just like in the Sefer, it says leishev b'sukkah, he's about to sit in the sukkah, he makes his bracha. So too, in the case of the Rashi lulav, he says latzeis bo in order to fulfill his mitzvah of lulav. His tana nami Rashi latzeis bo. The Ketani Sefer says sukkah liatzmo mevuchat Hashem shechiyano v'kimano v'yano lezman hazeh. Again, our minig is to make the Shechiyon on Kiddush, but the Shechiyon on Kiddush goes back even on the creating the building of the sukkah. If you built your own sukkah, is nichnas leishev bar, you're going in now and you're about to sit down, Omer, then you recite the Brach Brachat Hashem Sivano leishev bar sukkah. This is very interesting. Why are we using the lalamin? Because lalamin is mashma le haba. Lahaba means he hasn't yet fulfilled his mitzvah, because we're holding now that the mitzvah is yeshiva, literally yeshiva, and it's a literal. He went into the sukkah, but he hasn't yet sat down in the sukkah. So until he sits down, it's considered lahaba. It's over lasiyasa, and therefore the appropriate nusukah is leishev b'sukkah. In the case of lulav, you cannot say litol, because that would imply that you're about lahaba to implement the mitzvah. You've already taken the lulav into your hands, and you've already fulfilled the mitzvah. Now we have about 3 minutes left. I'm not going to read the next line in the Gemara because I want to leave that for tomorrow. That's the upshot of the entire sugya. But I want to take a look at Tosfos, Dibra Maskil Lotzeis Yotza Miboy. Lotzeis Mashma Shalo Yotza Adayin Biosa Netila. In other words, why is the Gemara nervous about the language Lotzeis Bo? Because it implies that he hasn't yet fulfilled the mitzvah. Now Tosfos is going to answer the following question. He doesn't even ask the question, but if you read between the lines, Tosfos wants to know, is there such a, you know, the Gemara wants to be metakin, you know, to improve on the language of the Bryce, and it should have said lotzeis. Tosfos says, where would you have such a case? How is it possible to make a brach on the lulav of lotzeis? Now Tosfos assumes that there's no possibility of making the brach when the four minim are sitting on the table. That's already too far in advance. So how can you have the following? This is the paradox of Tosfos, that you're about to be yotze the mitzvah, but you already have the four minim in your hand. If you already have the four minim in your hand, then mida agbe nafik be, you already fulfilled your mitzvah. So how can you say lotzeis, that you're about to, you're making the brach because you're about to fulfill the mitzvah? You've already fulfilled the mitzvah. Says Tosfos, kachas like shahafacho. What he did is he turned it upside down. Kedamina b'sukkah, di eno yotze el derek di laso. That the only way you can fulfill the mitzvah of Dalabinim is if you grab onto it in the way it grows on the tree. So let's say, for example, in the case of an esrog, if you have a pitam on your esrog, or whatever you have, you know, whatever your esrog looks like, it goes up, and that's the way it appears on the tree. Instead, he turns it upside down. So on the one end, he's ready to be latzeis, because he's going to turn it back to the derech k'dilason, and he's reciting the bracha. Is the Eina Yotze El Derek Nilas? Oh, Tos has another alternative. Shenetolo, he takes the four minim into his hands. Shalo Latze Spo. He has a specific intention that he will not fulfill the mitzvah. Ba'o Sanatila. Uksha Adam Notel Lulav. Yeah. And therefore, according to this second alternative, he doesn't have to turn it upside down. He can take all four minim kederek nilasa, but he has to make sure he has in mind that he does not want to fulfill his mitzvah. It's almanas shalo lotzes. And if it's almanas shalo lotzes, then he can make the bracha lotzes. Now, at this point, I would ask you why Tosis in the previous Tosis had to emphasize the Nanuim in Halil. Forget about the Nanuim in Halil. I don't need the Nanuim in Halil, because the overlasiyosin is because he took it shalok kederek dilosin, or he had kavanah shalok latzes. So the answer is Tosis now wants to offer three alternatives. How can you get overlasiyosin in lulav? A, you take it shalok kederek dilosin, you turn it upside down. B, you have in mind that you don't want to be yotze. Or three, is ain't tzarch laofko kedepriish ri dekeva the tzarch lenaneh bahalel, since he's anticipating down the line that when he gets to Halil he's going to do the nanuim, which Tosis l'shitaso holds as a completion of the mitzvah of lulav, so it's already latzeis bo, it means it's still over latzeiosin, omi shum dena rotz, so latzeis bo l'shitila, or even if he doesn't take it shalok kedef b'losin, he has in mind that he won't be yotzeh. Now this is a pella, because there's one by the Omar who holds mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavanah. So what good is it if he says I'm not going to be yotze? We hold mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavanah. According to that mind, the Gemara says they force you to eat matzah, you yotze. If you blow the shofar for the sake of musical lashir, you yotze because of mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavanah. But apparently Tosfos is assuming that ain tzrichas kavanah means you don't need a positive kavanah, but if you have a negative kavanah and you decide and you declare I'm not interested in being yotze, then we can't force the mitzvah down your throat against your will, and therefore you're not yotze the mitzvah, and that would generate over lasiyosan. So just to summarize, there are three, Tosfos suggests three possible alternatives how to generate over lasiyosan. Number one, you take the four minim, but shalok kederek dilasan. Tosfos elsewhere in Sukkah says even if one of the four minim is shalok kederek dilasan, that's enough. So you're not yotze now. You make the bracha and then you turn it kederek dilasan, you yotze. Number two, Tosfos says that you have a kavana shalok latze, salmanas shalok latze. And number three, says Tosfos, you're anticipating nanuim in Halel, and that itself makes it over lasiyosan. So tomorrow, Belinetta, we're going to talk about the halacha, and we're going to try to figure out what are the rules of the game. When do we make a bracha with a lamed? When do we make a bracha with an al? And that's going to be our discussion for tomorrow. Okay, then? Wish everyone a great group. Yeah.